It's a Wednesday afternoon. It's a sweltering Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock on KDBS, which means that I must be Dr. Andy, and this must be Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. Got my son Juki here this afternoon. He's joining me as co-host on this radio show. It'll be an entire hour of poetry. We've got poetry by Elizabeth Bishop, by Robert Lowell, a little comedy by Woody Allen about a moose, some jazz in terms of interstitial music, public service announcements, everything that you've come to expect from a poetry and technology program, only today, without the technology. An afternoon of recorded poetry. I'll give you a sense of the playlist in just a moment. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. D.R. Wagner, the professor of design here at UC Davis, someone who's been teaching here for 20 years. He's also published more than 20 books of poetry. He's also been a publisher of poetry, including poets that you've heard of, such as D.A. Levy, Kenneth Rexroth, and Jim Morrison. He'll be giving a reading tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock at the John Nitzulis Gallery. And that particular reading will also feature an open mic afterwards starting at 9. So that'll be an evening of poetry tomorrow with D.R. Levy. To find out more, you can visit poetryindavis.com. This afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, we're featuring poetry, a bunch of long poems and some short ones as well. I thought we'd start off with that promised track from Elizabeth Bishop called The Moose. And then later on, we will hear some stand-up comedy by Woody Allen, also about a moose. An afternoon of moose here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Well, I shall now...
Sorry, that was T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot, wait your turn. Let's see if we have the moose.
Published, period. And try to read Prufrock.
Let's hear then T.S. Eliot read The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
That it, I must warn you, that it takes a little time always to warm up the engine. And I hope I shall read better and better as I go on. Let us go then, you and I, when the evening is spread out against the sky like a patient etherized upon a table. Let us go through certain half-deserted streets, the muttering retreats of restless nights in one-night cheap hotels, and sawdust restaurants with oyster shells. Streets that follow like a tedious argument of insidious intent to lead you to an overwhelming question. Oh, do not ask, what is it? Let us go and make our visit. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. The yellow fog that rubs its back upon the window panes. The yellow smoke that rubs its muzzle on the window panes. Licked its tongue into the corners of the evening. Lingered upon the pools that stand in drains. Let fall upon its back the soot that falls from chimneys. Slipped by the terrace, made a sudden leap, and seeing that it was a soft October night, curled once about the house and fell asleep. And indeed there will be time for the yellow smoke that slides along the street, rubbing its back upon the window pane. There will be time to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. There will be time to murder and create, and time for all the works and days of hands that lift and drop a question on your plate. Time for you and time for me, and time yet for 100 indecisions and 400 visions and revisions before the taking of a toast and tea. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. And indeed, there will be time to wonder, do I dare and do I dare? Time to turn back and descend the stair with a bald spot in the middle of my hair. They will say how his hair is growing thin. My morning coat, my collar mounting firmly to the chin. My necktie rich and modest with a 30 by a simple pin. They will say, but how his arms and legs are thin. Do I dare disturb the universe? In a minute there is time for decisions and revisions, which a minute will reverse. Well, I have known them all already. Known them all. Have known the evenings, mornings, afternoons. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. I know the voices dying with a dying fall beneath the music from a farther room. So how should I presume? And I have known the eyes already, known them all, the eyes that fix you in a formulated phrase, and when I am formulated sprawling on a pin, when I am pinned and wriggling on the wall, then how should I begin to spit out all the butt ends of my days and ways, and how should I presume? And I have known the arms already, known them all, arms that are braceleted and white and bare, but in the lamplight, downed with light brown hair. Is it perfume from a dress that makes me so digress? Arms that lie along a table or wrap about a shawl? And should I then presume? And how should I begin? Shall I say? I have gone at dusk through narrow streets and watched the smoke that rises from the pipes of lonely men in shirt sleeves, leaning out of windows. I should have been a pair of ragged claws, scuttling across the floors of silent seas. And the afternoon, the evening, sleeps so peacefully, smoothed by long fingers, asleep, tired, or it malingers, stretched on the floor here beside you and me. Should I, after tea and cakes and ices, have the strength to force the moment to its crisis? But though I have wept and fasted, wept and prayed, though I have seen my head grown slightly bald, brought in upon a platter, I am no prophet, and here's no great matter. I have seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I have seen the eternal footman hold my coat and snicker, and in short, I was afraid. And would it have been worth it, after all, after the cups, the marmalade, the tea, among the porcelain, among some talk of you and me, would it have been worthwhile to have bitten off the matter with a smile, You have squeezed the universe into a ball to roll it towards some overwhelming question, to say I am Lazarus, come from the dead, come back to tell you all, I shall tell you all, if one, settling a pillow by her head, should say, that is not what I meant at all. That is not it at all. And would it have been worth it, after all? Would it have been worthwhile after the sunsets and the dooryards and the sprinkled streets? After the novels, after the teacups, after the skirts that trail along the floor and this and so much more? It is impossible to say just what I mean. But as if a magic lantern threw the nerves in patterns on a screen, would it have been worthwhile? If one, settling a pillow or throwing off a shawl and turning toward the window, should say, that is not it at all. That is not what I meant at all. No, I am not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be. I am an attendant lord, one that will do to swell a progress, start a scene or two, advise the prince, no doubt, and easy too, deferential, glad to be of use, politic, cautious, and meticulous, full of high sentence, but a bit obtuse, at times, indeed, almost ridiculous, almost, at times, the fool. I grow old, I grow old. I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled. Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare to eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaids singing each to each. I do not think that they will sing to me. I have seen them riding seaward on the waves, combing the white hair of the waves blown back. When the wind blows the water white and black, we have lingered in the chambers of the sea by seagulls wreathed with seaweed, red and brown, till human voices wake us and we drown.
This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. That was T.S. Eliot, of course, reading to us his poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. And now, a word from our sponsor.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Street in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon to your favorite community and campus radio station. Well, we just heard from T.S. Eliot. And next up, here's a hit from Elizabeth Bishop, promised earlier. This one is called The Moose, live, though recorded because all these poets are dead, here on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
The Moose, and it's dedicated to my aunt, Grace Boomer Bowers. From narrow provinces of fish and bread and tea, home of the long tides where the bay leaves the sea twice a day, takes the herring's long rides. Where, if the river enters or retreats in a wall of brown foam, depends on if it meets the bay coming in, the bay not at home. Where it's filtered red, sometimes the sun sets facing a red sea. And others, veins of flat lavender, rich mud, and burning rivulets. On red, gravelly roads, down rows of sugar maples, past clabbered farmhouses and neat clabbered churches, bleached ridges of clamshells, past twin silver birches. Through late afternoon, a bus journeys west, the windshield flashing pink, pink flancing off of metal, brushing the dented flank of blue beat-up enamel. Down hollows, up rises, and waits, patient, while a lone traveler gives kisses and embraces to seven relatives and a collie supervisor. Goodbye to the elms, to the farm, to the dog. The bus starts. The light grows richer. The fog, shifting, faulty, thin, comes closing in. Its cold, round crystals form and slide and settle in the white hen's feathers, in gray glazed cabbages, on the cabbage roses, and lupins like a fossil. The sweet peas cling to their wet white string on whitewashed fences. Bumblebees creep inside the foxgloves, and evening commences. One stop at Bass River, then the economy, lower, middle, upper. Five islands, five houses, where a woman shakes a tablecloth out after supper, a pail flickering, gone. The chant from our marshes and the smell of salt hay. An iron bridge trembles and a loose plank rattles but doesn't give way. On the left, a red light swims through the dark, a ship's port lantern. Two rubber boots show, illuminated, solemn. A dog gives one bark. A woman climbs in with two market bags, brisk, freckled, elderly, a grand night. Yes, sir, all the way to Boston. She regards us amicably. Moonlight as we enter the New Brunswick woods, hairy, scratchy, splintery. Moonlight and mist caught in them like lamb's wool on bushes in the pasture. The passengers lie back, snores. Long sighs. A dreamy divagation begins in the night, a gentle, auditory, slow hallucination. In the creakings and noises, an old conversation, not concerning us, but recognizable somewhere back in the bus. Grandparents' voices, uninterruptedly talking in eternity. Names being mentioned, things cleared up finally. What he said, what she said, who got pensioned. Death, death, and sicknesses. The year he remarried. The year something happened. She died in childbirth. That was the son lost when the schooner foundered. He took to drink, yes. She went to the bed. When Amos began to pray, even in the store, and finally the family had to put him away. Yes, that peculiar affirmative. Yes. Yes. A sharp, indrawn breath, half groan, half acceptance. It means life's like that. We know it. Also death. Talking the way they talked in the old feather bed, peacefully, on and on. Dim lamp light in the hall. Down in the kitchen, the dog tucked in her shawl. Now, it's all right now even to fall asleep, just as on all those nights. Suddenly, the bus driver stops with a jolt, turns off his lights. A moose has come out of the impenetrable wood and stands there, looms rather, in the middle of the road. It approaches. It sniffs at the bus's hot hood. Towering, answerless, high as a church, only the house, or safest houses. A man's voice assures us, perfectly harmless. Some of the passengers exclaim in whispers, childishly, softly. Sure are big creatures. It's awful plain. Look, it's a she. Taking her time, she looks the bus over, grand, otherworldly. Why do we feel, we all feel, this sweet sensation of joy? Curious creatures, says our quiet driver, rolling his eyes. Look at that, would you? then shifts gears. For a moment longer, by craning backwards, the moose can be seen on the moonlit macadam. Then the dim smell of moose, an acrid smell of gasoline.
That was Elizabeth Bishop reading her poem, The Moose. I believe that poem appeared in the last book that was published during her lifetime called Geography 3. It's a book of poetry that's about places. It contains some of her best work. A good place to start, her final book, if you want to investigate the poetry of Elizabeth Bishop. And now for something completely different. Well, somewhat different. Largely different in tone, if not in subject. For we're going to review now something entirely delightful, something I used to play in the early years of this radio show. What does that mean? 8, 9, and 10 years ago, I used to play this. I'm pleased to return to it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Woody Allen with his take on The Moose.
I shot a moose once. I was hunting upstate New York, and I shot a moose. And I strap him onto the fender of my car, and I'm driving home along the West Side Highway. But what I didn't realize was that the bullet did not penetrate the moose. It just creased his scalp, knocking him unconscious. And I'm driving through the Holland Tunnel, and the moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender. And the moose is signaling for a turn, you know. And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose on your fender Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I'm very panicky. And then it hits me. Some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go. I'll take the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive up to the party, and I knock on the door. The moose is next to me. My host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We end up. The moose mingles. Did very well. Scored. Some guy was trying to sell him insurance for an hour and a half. 12 o'clock comes. They give out prizes for the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes, a married couple dressed as a moose. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure here's my chance. I grab the moose, strap him to my fender, and shoot back to the world. Stop! I got the Berkowitzes. I'm driving along with 2 Jewish people on my fender. There's a law in New York State. Tuesday, Thursday, but especially Saturday. The following morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York Athletic Club. And the joke is on them because it's restricted.
To KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. That voice that you just heard was that of Woody Allen. He's got a great album. It might even be a double album called Stand Up Comic, I think from the late 60s. And that, of course, was The Moose. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy. Got my co-host, Juki. Juki's here in the studio. Not yet disruptive. Not yet insurgent-like. Sitting here behind me looking at an album filled with Sesame Street characters and music. He's making requests. We'll see if we can work that into the playlist this afternoon, but mostly we're focusing on poetry. Poetry and jazz. This particular CD is called Acoustic Machine. It's from Landmark. Or is it the Wandermark? 5. Acoustic Machine. That's where the jazz is coming from this afternoon. My name is Dr. Andy. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. You know what we don't have enough of on this radio show? Sam Waterston. You heard me. Sam Waterston. I think Oscar-nominated, multi-Emmy-winning actor. Sam Waterston has not yet read any Walt Whitman on this radio show. And I think it's long since time that we remedy that. And so, here is There Was a Child Went Forth by Walt Whitman, as read by Sam Waterston, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
There Was a Child Went Forth by Walt Whitman.
There was a child went forth. There was a child went forth every day, and the first object he looked upon, that object he became. And that object became part of him for the day, or a certain part of the day, or for many years, or stretching cycles of years. The early lilacs became part of this child, and grass, and white and red morning glories, and white and red clover, and the song of the Phoebe bird, and the third month lambs, and the sow's pink faint litter, and the mare's foal, and the cow's calf, and the noisy brood of the barnyard or by the mire of the pondside, and the fish suspending themselves so curiously below there, and the beautiful, curious liquid, and the water plants with their graceful flat heads, all became part of him. The field sprouts of fourth month and fifth month became part of him. Winter grain sprouts and those of the light yellow corn and the esculent roots of the garden and the apple trees covered with blossoms and the fruit afterward and wood berries and the commonest weeds by the road and the old drunkard staggering home from the outhouse of the tavern whence he had lately risen and the schoolmistress that passed on her way to the school, and the friendly boys that passed, and the quarrelsome boys, and the tidy and fresh-cheeked girls, and the barefoot Negro boy and girl, and all the changes of city and country wherever he went. His own parents, he that had fathered him, and she that had conceived him in her womb and birthed him, they gave this child more of themselves than that. They gave him afterward every day. They became part of him. The mother at home, quietly placing the dishes on the supper table. The mother with mild words, clean her cap and gown, a wholesome odor falling off her person and clothes as she walks by. The father, strong, self-sufficient, manly, mean, angered, unjust. The blow, the quick, loud word, the tight bargain, the crafty lure, the family usages, the language, the company, the furniture. The yearning and swelling heart, affection that will not be gainsaid, the sense of what is real, the thought if, after all, it should prove unreal. The doubts of daytime and the doubts of nighttime. The curious whether and how, whether that which appears so is so, Or is it all flashes and specks? Men and women crowding fast in the streets, if they are not flashes and specks, what are they? The streets themselves and the facades of houses and goods in the windows, vehicles, teams, the heavy planked wharves, the huge crossing at the ferries, the village on the highland seen from afar at sunset, the river between, shadows, aureola, and mist, the light falling on roofs and gables of white or brown, 3 miles off, the schooner nearby, sleepily dropping down the tide, the little boat slack-towed astern, the hurrying, tumbling waves, quick broken crests slapping, the strata of colored clouds, the long bar of maroon tint, away, solitary by itself, the spread of purity it lies motionless in, the horizon's edge, the flying sea crow, the fragrance of salt marsh and shore mud. These became part of that child who went forth every day, and who now goes, and will always go, forth, every day.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to let you know that none other than Gary Salin will be subbing the next radio show, Cool and Deadly. DJ Tangosaurus Rex was called to other duties, but you're very lucky that Gary Salin is in the house. You can often hear Gary Salin and his ukulele playing at Poetry Night, either at Bistro 33 or the John Atsoulis Gallery. Tomorrow evening, at the John Atsoulis Gallery, D.R. Wagner will be performing his verse. That starts at 8 o'clock at 1st and E Street, and then at 9 o'clock, the open mic. I just got a text from a poet who is listening to this radio show. Thanks very much, Corey, for checking in with Dr. Andy this afternoon, right in the middle of the show. Good to know that I've got listeners out there, in addition to my son, Juki, who's here in the studio. Every time I'm off mic, he's looking for trouble, but I don't let him find it. Well, it's time to hear another track. What should we turn to now? How about Morgan Freeman? You know, I don't think we've ever heard Morgan Freeman on this radio show. And why? I don't know. It's an absence, a lack that we shall address now. We heard some T.S. Eliot earlier, the poet himself reading the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Let's hear another Eliot poem. This one, Rhapsody on a Windy Night, read by the Oscar-winning actor Morgan Freeman. Here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Rhapsody on a Windy Night by T.S. Eliot.
Rhapsody on a Windy Night. 12 o'clock. Along the reaches of the street, held in a lunar synthesis, whispering lunar incantations dissolve the floors of memory and all its clear relations, its divisions and precisions. Every street lamp that I pass beats like a fatalistic drum, and through the spaces of the dark, midnight shakes the memory as a madman shakes a dead geranium. 1:30. The street lamp sputtered. The street lamp muttered. The street lamp said, "Regard that woman who hesitates towards you in the light of the door, which opens on her like a grin. You see the border of her dress is torn and stained with sand, and you see the corner of her eye twists like a crooked pin. The memory throws up high and dry a crowd of twisted things, a twisted branch upon the beach, eaten smooth and polished as if the world gave up the secret of its skeleton, stiff and white, a broken spring in a factory yard, rust that clings to the form that the strength has left, hard and curled, and ready to snap." 2:30. The street lamp said, "Remark the cat which flattens itself in the gutter, slips out its tongue and devours a morsel of rancid butter." So the hand of a child, automatic, slipped out and pocketed a toy that was running along the quay. I could see nothing behind that child's eye. I have seen eyes in the street, trying to peer through lighted shutters, and a crab one afternoon in a pool, an old crab with barnacles on his back, gripped the end of a stick which I held him. 3:30. The lamp sputtered. The lamp muttered in the dark. The lamp hummed, "Regard the moon. La lune ne garde aucune rancune." She winks a feeble eye. She smiles into corners. She smooths the hair of the grass. The moon has lost her memory. A washed-out smallpox cracks her face. Her hand twists a paper rose that smells of dust and old cologne. She is alone, with all the old nocturnal smells that cross and cross across her brain. The reminiscence comes of sunless dry geraniums and dust in crevices, smells of chestnuts in the streets, and female smells in shuttered rooms, and cigarettes in corridors, and cocktail smells in bars. The lamp said, 4:00. Here is the number on the door. Memory. You have the key. The little lamp spreads a ring on the stair. Mount. The bed is open. The toothbrush hangs on the wall. Put your shoes at the door. Sleep. Prepare for life. The last twist of the knife.
Hope you enjoyed that last twist by Morgan Freeman as he read to us from Rhapsody on a Windy Night by T.S. Eliot. What a sonorous voice that Morgan Freeman has. Did you hear that there was a candidate for a state Senate position this last fall, I believe in North Carolina or South Carolina, who had hired a Morgan Freeman impersonator to do the voiceover for his campaign commercial? Morgan Freeman was outraged, had his lawyers send over a cease and desist to stop them from using an impersonation of him without, of course, saying so. Morgan Freeman, starting off as a bit player and then a regular on the Electric Company back in the 1970s. Now, Oscar-winning actor and Hollywood's favorite narrator. If you're putting together a documentary, you could have no one better. 40 years ago, you'd want Orson Welles. Today, it's Morgan Freeman, who we just heard read Rhapsody on a Windy Night here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Here's an important public service announcement from the Linux Users Group of Davis, here on KDVS 90.3 FM Davis.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
This is KDBS, 90.3 FM in Davis. I'm very happy that you've tuned in today to see what we're doing on the most original radio station west of the Mississippi. I'm trying out that tagline. I'm not sure if it works. Hey, I just got a message on Facebook. Hold on, let me tell my son to sit down. I just got a message on Facebook from Mariam Ahmed. She writes, "Hi, Professor Jones. I've got another poetry reading coming up next Friday, July 29th, from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Einstein Cafe in the Folsom Public Library. I hope you can make it. The topic this time is social justice, so any related poetry or prose that you'd like to share would be wonderful to hear. In addition, would you know of any poets or artists that might be able to come down and perform for this event, specifically those who perform pieces about social justice?" We'll see if something comes of that. If you'd like to find out more about that, you can let me know. My name is Dr. Andy, and you can reach me at aojones@gmail.com. If you want to review the website of this radio show, it's poetrytechnology.com. You know what? I think it's time for some more poetry. Well, before, we heard some Sam Waterston reading Walt Whitman, and then Morgan Freeman reading T.S. Eliot. You know what I think it's time for? William Carlos Williams, the man himself, reading his poem to Elsie here on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
The pure products of America go crazy. Mountain folk from Kentucky or the ribbed north end of Jersey with its isolate lakes and valleys, its death newts, thieves, old names, and promiscuity between devil-may-care men who have taken to railroading out of sheer lust of adventure, and young slatterns bathed in filth from Monday to Saturday to be tricked out that night with gauds from imaginations who have no peasant traditions to give them character, but flutter and flaunt sheer rags, succumbing without emotion save numb terror under some hedge of chokecherry or viburnum, which they cannot express, unless it be that marriage, perhaps, with a dash of Indian blood will throw up a girl so desolate, so hemmed round with disease or murder, that she'll be rescued by an agent, rid by the state, and sent out at 15 to work in some hard-pressed house in the suburbs. Some doctor's family, some Elsie, voluptuous water expressing with broken brain the truth about us. Her great ungainly hips and flopping breasts addressed to cheap jewelry and rich young men with fine eyes, as if the earth under our feet were an excrement of some sky, and we degraded prisoners destined to hunger until we eat filth, while the imagination strains after deer, going by fields of goldenrod in the stifling heat of September. Somehow it seems to destroy us. It is only in isolate flecks that something is given off. No one to witness and adjust. No one to drive the car.
This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon. I'm headed over to the Farmers Market, the Davis Farmers Market, America's favorite large farmers market, right after this radio show. Gary Salen's going to come in and sub for DJ Tangosaurus Rex on Cool and Deadly. Gary is an expert on Hawaiian music, reggae music, and a great number of other things. So I'll be listening to see what sort of choices he makes for at least the beginning of his show when I'm driving the 3 or 4 blocks with my son Juki to the farmer's market across the street from Crapeville, 3rd and C Streets here in the city of Davis. Speaking of Gary Salen, he's planning, no contracts have been signed, but he's planning to show up to the open mic after the D.R. Wagner reading this coming Thursday night. I guess that would be tomorrow at the John Atsulas Gallery. I'd be pleased if you too could show up if you're interested in knowing more about D.R. Wagner and that particular event. Visit poetryindavis.com. Speaking of poetry, it's time for some more. I know you're grooving on this jazz, but we've got to interrupt the poetry with jazz and the jazz with poetry. Langston Hughes is a favorite of mine, as regular listeners know. I think two of the only times that you can use the word Negro without raising eyebrows, one would be to quote the Langston Hughes poem, The Negro Speaks of Rivers. The other is to speak of Negro spirituals. I bet this point could be debated. But here is Langston Hughes reading his poem called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. Here on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
This is The Negro Speaks of Rivers, one of my earliest poems written in 1920, just after I came out of high school. The way this poem came to be written was that I was going to Mexico to visit my father, who lived in Mexico City, and on the train going across the Mississippi River, just outside St. Louis, I looked out the window and I saw this great muddy river flowing down toward the heart of the South, and I began to think about what this river had meant to the Negro people, how, in a sense, our history was linked to this river, how in slavery time, my grandmother told me that to be sold down the Mississippi was one of the worst things that could happen to a Negro slave. And then I remembered that I'd read about Abraham Lincoln going down the Mississippi as a young man, and he went on a raft to New Orleans, and he saw human beings bought and sold in the slave market there, and he was so horrified by this that he never forgot it. And many years later, of course, we know that it was Lincoln who signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And so, as the train went on into the gathering dusk, because it had been about sunset when we crossed the river, I took my father's letter out of my pocket and began to write down on the back of his letter this poem, The Negro Speaks of Rivers. I've known rivers, I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
This is Dr. Andy with an important message. Cigarette smoke releases harmful gases like carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide. These gases can be partially harmful to babies and children whose mothers are still developing. When around others, especially children, make the effort not to smoke cigarettes at all. However, if you must smoke, smoke your cigarette outside, so that it becomes your choice and does not subject others to harmful side effects. Visit don'tpassgas.org for more information on the effects of secondhand smoke. This is a message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Whether it's the freshman 15 or the father 50, the truth is, most of us fight the battle of the fall. But these days, there's so many different weight loss options to choose from funky fads to diet pills, who knows what to do? Well, here's what the FDA recommends. Do at least 30 minutes of exercise, like brisk walking, most days of the week. The idea is to use up more calories than you eat. If you want to lose weight, you need to use up today's calories and some of the calories stored in your body fat. So, the next time you're wondering how you can lose a little weight, you might want to just go for a walk.
This is Dr. Andy. You know what we don't play enough of on this radio show? Scottish poetry. Here's one of Robert Burns' most famous poems, To a Mouse. Imagine if I were to try to read it. I would butcher it. I would butcher it like a Scottish butcher mangling his first haggis. Instead, here's the great Scottish actor, Billy Connolly, reading the Robert Burns classic, To a Mouse. Here, on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And by the way, where else on the radio are you going to hear this? Answer, nowhere. This is KDBS.
Robert Burns, To a Mouse.
To a mouse, on turning her up in her nest with the plough, November 1785. Wee sleekit coor and timorous beastie, over a panic's in thy breastie. The needn't start a war sae hasty with bicker and brattle. I would be laith to rin and chase thee with murdering paddle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doubt na, whiles, but thou may thieve. What then? Poor beastie, thou maun live. A Damon Icker and a Thraves, a sma' request. I'll get a blessing with a lave and never missed. Die wee bit hoosey too, in ruin. It's silly wars, the winds are strewing, and naething new to big a new in of foggage green, and bleak December winds ensuing, baith snell and keen. Thou saw the fields laid bare and waste, and weary winter coming fast, and cosy here beneath the blast thou thought to dwell, till crash the cruel coulter passed out through thy cell. That wee bit heap o' leaves and stibble has cost thee money a weary nibble. Now thou's turned out for all thy trouble, but hoose are hauled to fold the winter's sleety dribble and cranach called. But, Moosey, thou art no thy lane, and proven foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes o' mice and men gang after glee, and lee us nought but grief and pain for promised joy. Still, thou art blessed compared with me. The present only toucheth thee, but och, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear, and forward, though I canny see, I guess and fear.
I'm not sure if experimental jazz works after that great Scottish classic, but there it is. Thank you very much, Billy Connolly. Let's hear again from the sponsor of this program, Sacramento Doctors Clinic for Men, to whom we are grateful for their support of KDVS.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Street in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
Well, this is Dr. Andy, just about the end of my show. I'd like to thank all the dead authors and live actors who read poetry this afternoon on this radio show. I'd like to thank my son, Juki, who joined me here as my co-host, the silent interlocutor of this particular project. I'd like to remind you that tomorrow, D.R. Wagner will be reading at the John Atsoulis Gallery at 8 o'clock. D.R. Wagner has authored over 20 books of poetry and letters and has produced over 50 magazines and chapbooks. His most recent release is called A Limited Means of Expression, published by Rattlesnake Press of Sacramento, where they do such good and important work. He was the founder and editor of Press Today, Niagara, and Runcible Spoons, and he's worked with and published poets such as Kenneth Rexroth, Allen Ginsberg, and Jim Morrison. In addition to his literary career, G.R. Wagner is also a singer-songwriter, musician, and a visual artist of work that has won international awards and appeared in numerous publications and museum collections. He's taught design at UC Davis for 20 years. It's really terrific that he'll be joining us tomorrow as the featured poet, and I hope that you can join us as well. Well, Gary Phelan is up next to charm you with some delightful musical choices, so I hope you'll stick around for that for the next couple hours. I'm heading off to the Davis Farmers Market. Maybe I'll see you there. If not, it'll be tomorrow for D.R. Wagner at the John Atsoulis Gallery, or a week from today for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.